You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
Now it's time for Tracy Martin from the New Zealand First Party.
It is time for Tracy. We didn't get to chat with Tracy Martin last week, so this was a bit of a catch-up on a report released by Oranga Tamariki last week and the fees-free tertiary announcement yesterday, where she calls out David Seymour for being elitist. I started by asking what deadlines they had due before Christmas.
There's a whole lot of deadlines. Well, I guess there are. I mean, there's things that you have to put in which are in your ministerial, in your ministry roles. You have to do what we call bid pressures, so or budget pressures. So we're going to have to put in budget bids by the beginning of next year for the, you know, for the budget for the 2017-2018 year. But in the interim, we have to actually say if there's any cost pressures inside our individual ministerial roles for this next 6 months up to the next budget. So that's a piece of work that people have to do. And there's lots of pressures around the first 100 days to make sure that we're getting things in place for the deadline, which is the 3rd of February.
In terms of holding you up, National seems to be doing quite a good job of making headlines, I suppose, in terms of random things, but also just asking questions, poking fun at what you guys are doing, stating that there seems to be a constant divide between the coalition. Do you have a sort of response to that?
They're obviously still adjusting to being in opposition. From where we're sitting, they look very much like they're having to adjust to not having the number of staff they used to have, so they're actually having to do some work themselves. What else have they got? So basically they're going to sort of a tried and true, which is a divide and rule, which the National Party has done for decades, try to divide two sets of people and get them to sort of attack each other while they go off and do what they want. So the problem they've got is this: the coalition, which is New Zealand First and Labour, and our relationship with the supply partner, are strong. It's very strong. We campaigned on so many of these things. We have so many common platforms that the small little nuances which create conversations, and we're all grown-ups, they're conversations, are not that large.
There's been the announcement that the sanctions against solo parents in terms of naming the other parent in order to receive a benefit, those will be removed. Now, Louise Upson has questioned whether this will affect children's ability to know their family, their whakapapa, their identity. What do you have to say to that?
Well, I mean, look, everybody, and as I said in the House, everybody agrees that, well, in this country particularly, I won't speak for any other nations, but I know in this country particularly because of Māori and how Māoridom permeates through our society, that we all understand that knowing who you are is really, really important about your confidence as a person. And part of knowing who you are is knowing who your parents are. So nobody is saying that that's not important, but What we've discovered is that there's no evidence to show that taking $20-something dollars off a single parent per child because that parent won't say who the father is has helped more people say who the father is. So there's no statistical evidence that we can find that that is the case. And what's interesting, I think, is up until 2009, there was actually a small group inside the Ministry of Social Development that used to go around and sit down and talk with these mums and explain to them and find out from them what are the circumstances here, and do you understand what the downstream effect might have for your child? Is there any other way we can work this out for you? And the compliance got up to something in the into the high 90s. But in 2009, the National Government took away the funding from those groups. So they decided that they weren't
really
going to have a conversation. Yeah, really. This is what I find fascinating. So they decided they weren't going to send somebody out to actually talk directly with the mother and say, hey, what's going on here, human to human? They just decided we're going to penalise you. And we think that's typical of actually what the National Party has done over the 9 years that they've been in government. Just decide to penalise people and not have a chat with them to find out what's actually going on.
On a similar note, there was, in terms of consultation and talking with families, there was the report released last week by Oranga Tamariki. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
It was a report done over the 2015-2016 year. We went back into, now I'm remembering numbers off the top of my head, and I think it was either 863 or 683 cases for that 15-16 year, looking for any incident of harm. And I'm using the word harm really carefully. So not just abuse, because what had been reported previously was sustainable levels of abuse, really. And we were looking for harm, and harm includes neglect of children that were in our care. And 85 cases, I'm pretty confident that 85 cases came up. So that report was based on 1 year, when it was the children and young SIFs, basically, before Oraanga Tamariki had been formed, and looking at a wider category of harm, not just substantiated abuse. And the lessons out of that are, sort of ways that Oraanga Tamariki is going to continue to improve our practice.
Judge Beecroft has also been vocal in the media regarding the way that Oraanga Tamariki could be quite, he says, revolutionary in terms of the way that, you know, this department can deal with families and children can be quite positive. He, in a report, he quoted, or he talked about what they used to do in terms of bringing the family to a place where you can meet and you can discuss, sometimes on a marae, where you have a full consultation with the extended hapu and iwi of the whānau. And then that kind of disappeared, or that there wasn't any money to do that anymore, and now there's like a little bit of money just to kind of have this little meeting with the parents.
Sure.
And like you said, with the National Party taking away money in terms of discussing with mothers, is there any room for that kind of change or that kind of re-implementation of those things?
Well, I think it is definitely part of the conversation, because he's right. And I think what I want to make really, really clear, though, is the concept of, because we keep using, and we are appropriately using te reo Māori words here, okay? So we're using whakapapa and whānau and hapu and iwi. We're using those words appropriately. The probably part of the concern I have when we say whānau is that many New Zealanders who are not Māori may not think we're talking about them, and we are talking about them. Because so while we have a large number of the children in care overly represented, they are Māori. But there's also Pākehā children, Pacifica children, and so on. And so when we talk about shifting to a practice where we recognise the wider family unit, out to second cousins and all these people that are part of a big family or whānau group that could care for and support these children, we are meaning not just Māori. I don't want everybody to get really negative about that this is all these children in care are Māori children, and so therefore it's Māori that are dysfunctional. Do you understand where I'm coming
yes,
from?
Yes, absolutely.
I don't want people to get that. But that, I think we're talking about the report that he released on the family group conferences, and I would have to agree. If you just stick to, and the courts have a role to play here, because they're the ones who require Oraanga Tamariki to do the family group conferences. If we just stick to that little small nucleus, that's actually where we know the problem is. So we have to look wider. We have to look wider. And that is the power of what Oraanga Tamariki could bring to this particular part of government support that we haven't done well up to this stage.
So it will be part of that conversation in terms of putting more support measures in place?
It's certainly part of that conversation about how wide can we go with regard to family. How can we make this bigger and broader and understand that whānau is much wider than I think has been worked on today?
You mentioned in your Facebook updates, which I gladly watch on a Wednesday morning, you mentioned yesterday that you met, or you had a meeting yesterday with a Māori caucus of the Oraanga Tamariki.
It was a stakeholders group, actually. So it was the heads of, or people that are quite influential inside Māoridom, or who are Māori who are influential inside other issues. So it was a stakeholder group. It's around the historical abuse inquiry. So what the Oranga Tamariki is doing is actually going out to get the voice of those that are going to be affected or have been affected by either historical abuse or the fact that this inquiry is going to touch their communities, and ask them, before we set the scope, we wanted to ask them, what do you think the scope should be? Give us your input about what sort of inquiry this should be. Any information about what you think the outcomes that we need to be making sure that we get. So it was that. It was around 20, 25 iwi leaders and Māori leaders from other areas, like, for example, Never Again. My role really was I just went and I was able to sit in for about an hour, which is not as long as I would have liked, but I was able to listen to their conversation, to their kōrero, and it was great. I got a lot from it.
That sort of consultation, will that also occur in terms of these conversations around how we're dealing with particularly Māori children in terms of the changes from Oranga Tamariki?
Yeah, so up until this point, so Oranga Tamariki's been around, I think we're in our seventh month now, and so from here, and there's some papers that are going to be going through the Parliament around poverty reduction, and the reason why I mentioned that with regard to Oranga Tamariki is the poverty reduction targets. So the Prime Minister and I, she as the Minister for Poverty Reduction and myself as the Minister for Children, will be leading this across government. And that will set, Oranga Tamariki needs to have an action plan, and above that will be a wellbeing plan, so, you know, for children's wellbeing. So all conversations will take place inside setting those plans, and yes, these sorts of groups, among a wide variety of others, are going to be part of that conversation to set those plans.
We've run through time, so I'll let you go soon, but I do want to say there's a massive tertiary fees announcement yesterday. Congratulations. Yeah. And I definitely want to talk more about this because we're student radio, so hopefully we can keep talking about this. But for today, I think one of the criticisms out there, or at least one that I've seen being discussed by David Seymour and Clovis Warbrick, is that David reckons having access to university or free university is going to decrease the quality, essentially, of your university learning, and it will be an extra 3 years of high school. Do you have anything to say to that?
What an elitist attitude that is. So we can only keep standards if we make sure that only a few people do it. What a load of rubbish. That's like saying that if the more children I have, the less I love them. What an absolute piece of rubbish. I don't want people to listen to that, man. I really don't. Absolutely crap.
That's all I needed, I think. There were some articles this morning that have been released saying New Zealand reading levels are at an all-time low. What can we do to address this?
It's interesting, and we're not. I haven't read the full report. I've just sort of heard about it. Chris Hipkins and I had a quick conversation about it. I think it's Pearls. It's not PISA, actually. So I need to really dive into the report. Apparently, we're not the only Western nation whose reading levels have dropped. We need to find out why. Maybe, just maybe, it's not necessarily got anything to do with our education system, and it might have more to do with our the disruptive technologies that are actually in our now part of our life, right? So, before we freak out, I think we need to go and have a look at what Pearls was testing, and then just sort of have a more holistic conversation about is it 100% that something's failing inside our school system, or have we just not recognised that we need to pick up something in our school system because there's not this amount of reading or whatever continually happening after school and so on and so forth. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. Okay, yeah. Cool. We'll talk about it again soon.
Okay.
And have a great day.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. Bye.
That was Tracy Martin from the New Zealand First Party. The Wire.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.